Boom. 25.
Episode 25.
We can legally rent a fucking coming car.
In. Justin, where'd your voice go since the last podcast?
I'm just trying to be quiet because there's other people in here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the mic's right here.
You're doing a great job.
I'll speak loud enough for both of us, big guy.
So 25, here we are.
25. Took us long enough, right? Because you were where?
Well, I was in England.
Yeah.
And then we had some different things happen throughout last week, so it made it a little difficult for us to get in there. We actually are doing this a day late.
Dollar short.
Due to bad road tactics.
That's it. You can call it that.
That's sure. Where we'll leave it there. Yeah.
I hope I don't hit any bad road tactics on the way to work today.
100%. It's I-4, though, so you're probably going to do it anyways.
Could be. It's like Mad Max out there.
I had to turn around halfway up here, so I could tell you that your way to work is looking pretty good right now.
Thanks. I appreciate that, big guy.
How many times people tell you look like Lyle Lovett with that haircut?
I don't know. You seem to think that, and you're the only one that thinks that.
It's just the hair, really, is all it was, because he had the same haircut. It's just sorry. Well, we got a pretty solid episode for you coming back. We got a really good beer here. It's a collaboration, actually.
It tastes pretty good. Yeah. It's nice and smooth.
It's tasty. It's called the Freestylin', which I think we talked about when they were in the process of brewing it. It is a cherry cola kettled sour collaboration with Broken Strings, our lovely host of this podcast, which we're doing it when the brewery is open for the first time ever. So that's why you hear a lot of music in the background.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys enjoy that.
It's not the first time we haven't had some walkers come through.
Oh, no. You know? No. So tell me your thoughts on the beer.
I like it.
Outside perspective, first time having it.
It does have the cherry flavor comes through pretty good.
I think the cola flavor comes through too. Like it almost
We
like
used
a
syrup in there.
It has like a soda-y aftertaste.
Mm. Yeah, the like I said, it was a collaboration between Broken Strings, our lovely host, and Toll Road Brewing over there in, that's on your neck of the woods, right? Ocoee?
What did they call it?
Yeah, where you used to live. That's your old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Ocoee.
What's the name of the?
Toll Road Brewing.
I haven't heard of it.
And what's the beer called?
Freestylin'.
I haven't lived there for like 2 years now, though, so I don't really know.
Man, once from Ocoee, always from Ocoee. Oh. I didn't even live in Plant City, and this guy says that.
I mean, once from Plant City, always from Plant City.
Right.
I've never even been to Plant City.
I went one time to drop someone off at rehab. That was it.
Ever since you were coming out of Plant City, I've been saying it.
I've never come out of Plant City. Oh, goddamn. Anyway, before we dive too deep into that.
Before we get lost in Plant City.
One thing we kind of brushed over on our last episode, I kind of wanted to bring it back up, is are you wearing, like, thermals?
Huh? Oh, I was ending up, I was outside this morning. Went to the springs.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
It's a little bit colder.
It's only
there.
64 degrees outside. Anyway.
It was 49 this morning.
I can believe that. So we talked about jiggers just a little bit.
Yeah.
So for the kids at home who might not know what a jigger is and may think it's a derogatory term, tell the kids what they are.
It's not a race thing. It's just a tool for measuring things.
Correct.
And not your hatred and bigotry.
But typically when people see one,
yes,
hatred and bigotry comes out.
It's the first thing you think as a bartender, and you're like, God damn it, get that thing away from me. I don't want to touch it, I don't want to see it, and I don't want to hear it.
But my thing about it is, you're a very calculated cocktail bartender.
Unfortunately, there is a need for a jigger.
Necessary.
I figured this is what you were trying to get out of me in this conversation.
Well, yeah, I mean,
because the thing is, like, depending on what you're pouring, because honestly, whenever you're doing a quarter ounce of anything, it's real easy to go over.
Right.
And if you double the amount of, say, vermouth in a martini or simple syrup in an old fashioned, you're going to fuck the whole cocktail up.
Correct.
Because doubling and going from a quarter ounce to a half an ounce, which is one, that's it. That's the count. That's how much you messed it up by.
Just a squirt.
Yeah. Just enough. Because I can make a margarita easy enough because it's 3-4 counts and a 3 count.
Right.
And that is a lot harder to fuck up because once you get the liquor flowing, it's a lot easier to tell where you're at. But when you're just trying to do a quarter ounce and a half ounce of things, a lot of bartenders know that those are some of the hardest pours to nail.
Right.
Just off hand movement and counting in your pours instead of jiggering.
Right. And I think jiggering, I mean, so I know we've mentioned this on the podcast before. When I started bartending, we had to go into work every day. I think, or every day we worked, or every week we worked, I think we got tested at least twice for pour testing.
Yeah.
And if you didn't pass the pour test, you couldn't work the bar. You would lose your next shift, pretty much.
Yeah.
Unless you could go back in and pass it.
The next day?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, because Ale House, you would pour test 5 days a week, and you didn't get to get your drawer or get on the bar until you passed your pour test that day.
Right. So, you know, I feel like, I don't think it's an attack on bartenders. I think it's a calculated move because craft cocktails have just gotten so far.
Yeah,
and it making has. Sure that every single person gets the same exact product every time. Nobody's going to give a shit about a well margarita. Yeah. Light it up on that bad boy. But,
exactly.
And you know what? One thing I really never thought about until exactly right now is bartending. One thing I think that is overshadowed is the weight of the bottle never really bothers you in your pour count.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of extraordinary when you think about it, because it's something you do every day, and none of the weights of the bottles are ever the same.
Yeah.
But the pours are always consistent, mm-hmm. and I feel like that's pretty fucking awesome.
I will tell you, though, in all my years as doing a lot more liquor, I have realized that a full bottle pours slower than an empty bottle, and
more
cold
air.
Always pours slower than hot.
Yeah.
So you'd notice it on a patio bar.
Oh, 100%.
When I used to work at Ale House in 90-degree weather out on the patio.
Be flowing.
Yeah. It's goes flowing. So much quicker.
Yeah.
So
probably
much
get bigger tips there, too, because you're in the cold office doing your pour test, and it comes out good, and then you go into the 90-degree heat.
Yeah, and then you step outside, and it's like, oh, hey, you got some 2.5-ounce pour, and oops.
Boiling Tito's coming out of the bottle.
That's it.
Oh, man.
Yep, hits the ice, and they get hammered.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. When I was in England, it's funny, they actually, a lot of their shit is pre-mixed.
Really?
Jack and Cokes and stuff like that come in, like, you know those little syrup boxes? Not little, you know those syrup boxes that sodas come in?
Yeah.
They come in, like, something like that.
So they do a lot of them off the gun, you're saying?
Well, no, you just, little nozzle, they just pour open the little nozzle there.
Okay.
And UK, by the way, is... Like, all the breweries served liquor.
Yeah.
And wine. So, it was pretty cool. I guess, you know, obviously, different countries, licensing is different.
Yeah.
But I thought that was pretty fascinating. But I didn't really see too many jiggers over there, either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems very interesting, because over here, you know...
We didn't go to any fancy bars, though, this time.
Okay.
We just hit up, like, some nice pubs and...
Nice.
Drank some... I think I had, like, one scotch the entire time I was here, given to me by an old lady... In a pub like that was 400 years old.
God.
It was worth it.
That was the only liquor that you had over there? You're messing up, man. You're messing
Scotch?
Up.
What else would I drink? I mean, gin. They're known for gin.
I was
gin.
Saying that's if that's the only liquor you had the whole time you were over there, you're messing up.
I was there for a reason.
What was that?
To drink beer.
Okay.
And I fucking accomplished that.
So what are two fantastic beers that you had over there?
Well, I actually have a few shout-outs.
Yeah?
I went to a couple of really cool breweries, but I do want to shout out the Neal family, Tom Neal, Carolyn, Graham, and Sam. They actually housed us. There was five of us that went over there, and they housed us for free. So it was very nice of them to put us up there. So shout out to them. But first brewery I went to was Red Cap Brewing, and it was this tiny. The brewing operation itself was bigger than the one we have here in Broken Strings. I think they were looking at 22 barrel system, and we only have three here.
Jeez.
But their tap room had 8 chairs in it and only had enough room to comfortably seat 4 people of those 8 chairs. It was so weird. It was only open 3 days a week. You got a brewery tour the last Saturday of every month.
Okay.
So it really was built for distribution. The craft beer scene is so young there, you know?
Yeah.
Really, most of the pubs in England are all owned by... breweries, bigger ones. So, you know, you get to going around and actually seeing the craft beer scene over there was really cool.
I bet.
And then I went to, we went to Steamtown Brewing, which was awesome.
Okay.
I got to talk with that brewer and check out their system. They're running, I think, a 10 barrel system. They had some really good double IPAs. And then they also, what's cool about it is all these, most of these breweries, save for Red Cat, had beers from other breweries in there.
Okay.
So one that we were really looking forward to going to, but never ended up getting the chance to go to, was Unity Brewing, but I got to try some of their beer.
Okay.
New England's are like just hitting huge over there. People are dying for them. So, they had a bunch of really good ones. And I went to this other one called Dancing Man. Dancing Man Brewing is a 14th century building built for wool trade originally. Then it was a prison for the Spanish War.
For a second, I thought you said wolf trade.
Same thing. Wolf in sheep's clothing, I guess.
I mean.
With the deals that they were spitting. anyway. Excuse me. Then it was a prison for the Spanish War. And then it was a munitions factory during World War One, and now I think they had one or two other adaptations before it, what it is now. And they've really, like, they very much embraced, like, their heritage in that building, and it's so old, and you walk in there, and the way I'm going to say this probably isn't the right way to say it, but in a very good way, you feel the weight of the history when you walk in there. And they're... concepts are really cool. They do milkshake IPAs, which you don't really, I mean, only a few breweries in America do those anyways.
Yeah.
With the lactose. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're over here, Broken Strings, or you could say the monarch of lactose in beer, because we use a lot of it. No pun intended on that one.
You just try not to drink too much of it.
I can't. I'll shit my brains out. But yeah, it's pretty cool. And that one overlooked the beautiful Southampton Bay.
Ooh.
So, you know, you had this fucking 15 by 15 window upstairs that completely overlooked everything.
The beautiful bay.
You can get your steak and kidney pie while you're drinking a pint.
There you go.
Looking over at the... And it was windy.
Nice.
It was really windy, so the waves were angry. Not always, but that particular... It was actually the windstorm we had a couple of weeks ago. It just so happened to conveniently follow me over, which was a blessing in disguise because it actually made my plane trip 1 hour quicker.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. I'm okay with it.
There you go. When you got to spend 9 hours in a plane, it's an hour off is nice.
You guys definitely have to come with me next time.
It's definitely
easier said than done, too, with our situation we have over there, too.
Absolutely.
And the main reason why I say that is because, like, gin distilleries are a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to get in there and get a nice little tour. Same thing with the whiskeys and stuff.
Always.
Beers. Yeah. So we got to plan a international bartender's ball tour.
Let's do it, man.
Do a podcast in the Royal Oak, the oldest pub in the UK.
I'd like
that
it.
That would be cool.
Fucking, let's get weird. Yeah. Segueing into...
getting weird.
Getting weird. The DeLorean.
Yeah.
Blast from the past.
Seriously. Last week we talked about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids coming back, and this week it's something from Back to the Future.
Yep.
Coming back.
And they're saying that with the release of the DeLorean is going to come the new DeLorean, which looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally just looks like a modern version of the old one.
It's a sleeker, modernized version of exactly what was good, because they're still doing it as a DMC-12.
Right. I think it just looks like Elon Musk touched it.
Yeah. He looked at it one day and ran his fingers down the side. And
then
now
boom.
It's got Bluetooth and power steering and cruise control and all that.
Yeah. Speaking of that, crash in, I think, Florida. Dude was playing video games on his phone.
Yeah.
While the car was being self-driving.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Got in a fatal crash. Dunzo.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it a Tesla?
In a Tesla.
When did this happen?
Like within the last week.
Really?
Yeah. I just saw the article. I grazed past it and thought that'd be nice to talk about on the podcast. And then kept going.
We should have. I didn't know anything about this just because... Honestly, man, Tesla's been having a meteoric rise in their stock price and everything as of late.
I think it's not a bad... I don't think it's going to hurt them too much. One bad car accident when you had Michelin back in the day, or Firestone back in the day, those tires blowing up on the Chevy Tahoes and Trailblazers all the time. You remember that?
That was a problem.
There's like 300 crashes countrywide.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But how much of that was fatal?
In a Trailblazer, those things are top heavy, so I would imagine at least 100.
Chevys are known to be terrible on the road.
Thanks.
Yep.
I have two of them.
No problem, man. Don't lose
a
tire.
Speaking of stocks, this is something we didn't talk about. Corona brand beer, their stock has dropped 40%.
Yeah.
40% Americans are not buying because Corona
because of coronavirus. I want a Corona.
People are so fucking stupid.
Right? It's like on the other side of the world.
I tell you though, that is the reason why now is when you should buy Corona stock. Should buy stock in Corona because there's no reason it's down.
Yeah.
So as soon as people are like, oh, I want to get drunk again.
Yeah.
It's just going to fly right back up, probably 10% less than it was at one point. But if it's 40% down, you can double your money.
So here's the new Bartender's Ball business plan. We buy a shit ton of Corona stock, and then when the market comes back up, we sell it all and start a mezcalery.
Or we just wait until it goes so low that we buy enough to take over the company.
Yeah. And we get those little elves that are pissing in the bottles and put better piss in there.
Oh, my God. You know that's why Mexican people put limes in their bottles?
Because of sanitation reasons.
So they have to break the bottle to recycle them.
Yeah.
Or else the Corona factory would just refill them. Ergo, spreading the coronavirus.
Boom. The coronavirus is not tipping your bartender. Before, it was a flu epidemic.
That's it. Now I'm going to be telling people I hope they catch the coronavirus when they don't tip enough.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's like, I already have it. Well, what are you doing here?
I'm going to smash a Corona over your head.
Yeah. You know Derek Lewis, the UFC fighter?
No.
He was famous for the My Balls Was Hot interview.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
After yeah. I don't know if you ever saw that video. It was like, what, 7 months ago, maybe?
No.
Something like that.
Maybe a year ago.
It was hilarious.
He had a comeback win in like the last 30 seconds of a fight.
Yeah.
And by the time Joe Rogan got there to talk to him, he had his shorts off. And when he's like, why'd you take your pants off, Derek? Joe Rogan said, he's like, because my balls was hot. And he's like, tell me what went on here. And he was like, well, before the fight, Donald Trump called me and said, hey, you're going to have to beat this motherfucker up because you're going to have to beat this Russian motherfucker up because they're making me look bad in the media, Putin and shit.
So, I remember that. Yep.
He is one of the funniest dudes of all. And his Instagram is one of the funniest ones, which Joe Rogan mentioned. So I looked it up the other day because I hadn't looked at it in a while. And he showed a video, like it was a SWAT team video of the Chinese government doing checkpoints of people driving.
Yeah.
And they scan you for the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled this motherfucker out of his car with like full SWAT shields and everything.
Yeah.
And arrested him. It was insane.
Dude, apparently there's some crazy shit going on with that, man, where they're ending up. Might be putting people in incinerators. You might have heard it here first.
What do you know?
I'm just saying. All of a sudden, there's all this stuff just came and where they just shipped in a whole bunch of incinerators and everything, and they're saying that they built this hospital in 6 days. How did they really build this hospital in 6 days? Maybe they're just taking people in there and...
So this is a conspiracy theory hour. A
little bit.
It's funny that they could build a hospital in 6 days, but we can't get I-4 done in like 60 years.
So do you really think there's a whole hospital inside that building now?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's an actual building or more of just some really big-ass tents.
That's it.
Or, like, you know, you've seen those prefabbed barns go up, the steel structures.
Oh.
Those can go up in a week, so I'm not surprised. And there's a lot of people in China, so...
Yeah, but they prefab the inside of those things. You would have had to, like, prefab the inside of these hospital units for the past, like, 2 months, so you could go out there and put them together real quick.
Ah, they just throw up a couple of plastic walls and some sanitizer, and you're good to go. Haven't you watched, or haven't you ever played The Division?
No.
Oh, you should.
Terrible.
Definitely not terrible.
Yeah.
So back to the DeLorean.
Yeah. Back to the future.
I'm pretty excited, actually. When I was at the Mika Auto Auction, they had one or two DeLoreans there.
One of the old ones?
Yeah, and it's always cool to just look at, you know?
You know the old ones, man. Stainless steel.
Yeah.
All stainless steel.
You can still see the cocaine on the dashboard. Did I catch you? Did I get you speechless there or something?
Nah.
Yeah, they are all stainless steel, so, you know, if one of those goes flying in the air, it could decapitate you.
Well, no, they're not anymore.
The new ones aren't?
No, they're not going to be full stainless steel anymore.
Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah. But, let's see. No, apparently it's been rumored for many years, and lots of people are happy to see it come out.
So we're getting a quick picture by Young Mary, which is something I mentioned before
Dustin,
the podcast.
Nobody can hear that.
I know. I'm letting them know what's happening, you big weirdo.
Why does that matter? I was
Mary
reading
here,
something.
I'm sorry. Mary here is the co-owner of the Nook on Robinson.
Oh,
which is what we talked about before the podcast.
Gosh, Dustin,
I'm sorry I had to cut you off.
Figure out a way you can jerk off the Nook later. Come on.
But it is their 2-year anniversary tonight. So
there
if you get the chance
out,
to
nice
hear
beer.
This before it happens, hopefully we'll have this up before we're done, before it happens.
We'll see.
Or the night's over.
Do you have to run back to your house and grab anything before we post it?
My dignity.
Okay. Cool.
Perfect.
We'll see if Ashley can drop it off. I'll text her right now.
Sounds good. I'm going to let you read that article real quick. Okay.
Oh, you got to go take a bam-bam?
No. I'm going to go turn off the music.
Cool.
Go for it.
Okay. No, so DeLorean... Luckily, the laws... Oh, shit. See, I lost my fucking place, Dustin. Unfortunately, the project was held up because changes in regulations made it very difficult to execute important aspects of the traditional DeLorean design. Laws have changed to allow low-volume automakers to sell up to 325 cars each year that resemble production vehicles manufactured at least 25 years ago. However, the vehicles must meet current Clean Air Act standards for a model year in which they are produced.
So who's the company behind it?
Is it Daimler?
Daimler Chrysler?
I don't believe so. Mm. But I mean, I can't see it being made by any other company. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, apparently, though, it's DeLorean's vice president. Okay.
So he just came back and did the damn thing.
Yeah, well, I think that's what it was just talking about, is that they don't have to re-register the car as a brand new, like, new car that's got to go through safety and testing regulations and stuff. Because, like we've learned from Top Gear and Grand Tour, it's once it's on a road-ready chassis and, like, framework and all that, that's tested for safety and all, you can put whatever kind of a body and engine and all that that you want in it.
The iEagle Hammer Thrust.
Terrible.
I saw it in real life.
Did you?
It was awesome.
Wasn't it called Jeff by that point?
I don't remember, but I mean, the genius engineering behind it, the batteries charge from the motor. So you have a never ending motor.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you do. It does end. Because perpetual motion machines do not work.
Right. I mean, I think for that particular episode, they tried to explain it and
It also ran
it was one of the
at
few
like
times.
21 miles an hour tops.
Right, and the exhaust was inside of the car.
Yeah, and when they used the blinkers, they slowed down.
Right, and but that was one of the few times when he figured out the perpetual motion thing, when James May was doing it.
Yeah,
it was one of the few times where Jeremy Clarkson goes, "That's actually really clever." Normally, he's like, "You fucking."
And
moron.
The one time that he didn't try to hit it with a hammer.
What a great show.
It is, man. I really can't wait till they come out with their next one, because the last one was the Grand Tour Seaman,
and it was hilarious.
It was amazing.
Have you seen it?
No. No, I haven't.
I've seen
Grand Tour before, but I haven't seen what
the Seaman's is just like a one-off special. I think it's like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's really good.
That's the new thing, is that's what Grand Tour is going to do now, is they're going to release 4 to 5 1.5-hour specials of them doing a long road trip.
Which is like their highest rated shows.
Was the highlight of every season that they ever did.
Their highest rated shows were always their
and
episodes.
Especially now, I love it just because all the Amazon money production value that goes into them.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, yeah, you know, I got a kit boat.
Yeah, that was like $3 million or something crazy like that.
He was like, well, you know, I had to have PBR. All the pieces molded and made and then had it put together in another country and then shipped over here and... You know, it was just
the jizzle drizzle.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
One of the guys had a boat, the Razzle Dazzle, and they changed it. Wasn't it jizzle drizzle or jizz drizzle?
I think jizzle drizzle.
Jizzle drizzle or jizz drizzler or something like that. It was hilarious.
It was a Miami Vice like cigarette boat.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It was really funny.
Because that's the thing, is they usually all sign up for a road trip together.
Yeah.
Where they just have to go down like a river or something like that. And they all show up in the best fucking vehicles that just represent all their personalities. Like, Jeremy Clarkson went with one from, like, the Vietnam War, the PBR.
Yeah.
And it was just a plastic jet boat that was just extremely light, agile, great for the war.
Military-grade boat.
Yeah. And then Richard Hammond, because it's all about speed and American, just
going stuff. As fast as you can.
Yeah. He just goes with a fucking cigarette boat with, like, dual engines on the back from Miami Vice.
Fuck yeah.
And then James May shows up in a riverboat.
With, like, a goddamn wine.
It's got, like, a 45-horsepower engine on the back.
Yeah, that thing was a monster. That thing was actually a little bit of a monster, though. That thing was terrible. He cranked it up once or twice, and it was moving. Obviously, he wasn't going as fast as the other two.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because they were both jet boats, weren't they? No, the other one had two outboard engines.
Yeah, one was two outboard, one was a jet boat. But the thing that was hilarious about the jet boat is, jet boat, like a hovercraft, can't turn unless it's under speed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is so funny.
Yeah.
And if you try to turn it when you're at speed, it'll literally fly.
Yeah.
It'll go in the air, and then when it lands, it'll be on your head.
Yep. Oh, best part was he tried to take that fucking jet boat into one of those floating marketplaces.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't turn anywhere going 5 miles an hour.
Nope.
And he fucking sank a bunch of people's wares.
Yeah, that was pretty goddamn funny. I wonder how much Amazon was willing to spend on just ruining people's lives.
I'm pretty sure they just hand them, like, pockets full of cash.
Mm-hmm.
Because I gotta expect that in a lot of those... No, because you see them just handing out cash, and they're like, how much is it? How much is it?
Mm.
Oh, okay, here's 22 euros.
Here's $5,000 more than that.
Yeah. Because I would originally think, watching some of their specials, I'd be like, all these fucking locals just dropping everything to help them. Because, like, when they were in the Serengeti,
they
ended up getting all their cars stuck in mud, and it seemed like every 15 minutes they were like, thank God all the cars that got stopped up and couldn't go around us were full of locals. And then all the locals came out, and we gave them each 20 bucks.
Yeah, they just
and then they each came over and dug the car out, and
Bob's
we were
uncle.
On our way.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But it just seems like that's what they always do, is they're like... Because in that one, Richard Hammond was like, oh, I had to have one boat tow me through this area.
Yeah.
But one boat's not strong enough, and neither's two.
So there's three. Like four boats towing
each
other.
So we have four boats going slower than the speedometer can register.
Through this marsh of, like,
with
lettuce.
With weed whacker motors. Just
through lettuce marsh.
And he can't hear anything.
Hilarious.
Trying to kill himself because he can't.
Oh, it's good.
But... Because we are pressed for time today.
Yes.
Speaking of things you hear, you know these segues are great.
Yeah, I was told that my segues are better than yours.
By who?
By
Rebecca Riddle?
No. But shout out to Rebecca Riddle.
Who said it?
There's three people who said my segues are typically better than yours.
Yeah? Who?
Yeah. I'm not saying it.
Okay.
They want to remain nameless.
All right, fair enough.
They want to be in your
Well, they don't listen very much then.
Speaking of people who don't listen very much, Jared Thompson. Where the fuck are you?
Hey.
As you were. So
he's sitting over there doing military things.
Yeah, I guess.
Fucking Navy.
He's off today. Anyway, what were you going to say?
So, no, speaking of things that you hear, Doncic, what's his name? Luka Doncic?
Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
Who plays for the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah. Dallas Mavericks. I think it's fucking amazing that, let's go ahead and bring him up. Let's name drop him right away. Kobe Bryant.
Correct.
Changed the game in more ways than one, to where I heard that it was similar to back in the day, because apparently Michael Jordan used to be one of the biggest fucking
trash talkers
too,
of all time.
Where he would
just
be like,
destroy
you
people.
You suck.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it.
You're
not going to make it.
Your
you
mom
suck.
Sucks. Your
you
girlfriend
suck.
Sucks. Your dad suck. Your kids are going to suck. Their kids are going
to
suck.
He's like, I hope your kids don't learn how to read. Yes, he missed.
Yeah.
And in that same vein of people that have changed the fucking game. See, that's why we don't let you hold the mic.
Calm down. That's your word.
Keep going.
It's under your chair.
Right. I'll get it later.
So, Luka Doncic recently came out and told people that Kobe Bryant learned how to speak Slovenian.
Right.
Do you know why he learned how to speak Slovenian?
To talk shit to Slovenian players.
To talk shit to anyone that came over from the European leagues.
That's fucking awesome.
So he's like, when you're a piece of shit and I fucked your mom... Do you know what he just said to you?
Yeah.
Because he's saying it in your language.
Yeah, like...
Totally.
It's fucking great.
He learned from the best, though. He was there with Michael.
Yeah.
And, I mean, not on the same team, but he was in the same era, and they mentored him.
Well, I remember seeing something during that whole memorial for Kobe Bryant, where they were introducing Michael Jordan, and they talked about... There was one game where an 18-year-old Kobe Bryant played against Michael Jordan, and halfway through the game, Kobe Bryant was like... Hey, man, what can I do to get a better jump shot? Like, during the game,
oh,
he's
really?
Like, Mike, what can I do? How do I get better? How do I get better? And it threw Michael Jordan off because he was like, this guy's able to compete with me. And he's so humble. He's just like, and how do I get better?
Yeah, how do
what
I
else
be
do
like
I need
Mike?
To do? What else do I need to do? Brick, what else do I need to do? And I think it went on to say that Kobe Bryant scored 33 points that game and Michael Jordan scored 38. And Michael Jordan won the game. Not really a surprise there. A seasoned Michael Jordan versus a new 18-year-old Kobe Bryant. But that's fucking amazing.
I think it's pretty cool.
It's just awesome. I know we don't want to spend a bunch of time talking about how sad it is that we lost Kobe Bryant before his prime. But
that's a cool story,
though. I think
that's
one thing that's amazing. Like,
uplifting.
It's coming out. Dude knew seven languages.
Just to talk shit to
I'm
people.
Pretty sure it was like French, Spanish, English, Slovenian.
I think he knew Creole.
And like Creole, I think Italian, if I didn't say that already.
I think he did.
And I'm pretty sure he learned some language from Eastern Asia.
Yeah.
It was either like Japanese or Korean or Chinese or Vietnamese. Because I think because he used to go over there and do so much charity work
China is a huge
NBA thing.
Market for the NBA.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Controversially.
It's also huge in Japan, too.
Yeah, but I think China's like the second biggest market for the NBA.
But he took advantage of it, and he went over there and did a lot of promotional things for people in Asia.
Or just even himself, he was sponsored by a lot of Asian companies.
But I think he was one of those athletes that just went above and beyond, and he learned the fucking language. Went over there so he could talk for doing commercials and stuff.
But mainly just to talk shit to people.
Yep.
That's not
the first reason.
That's why it was brought up, is because he wanted to talk shit.
Goddamn right.
Yep.
We got one more topic.
Yeah.
Let's hash it out.
That's it.
Golf tournament in Portugal, right?
I believe it was Argentina.
Argentina.
The Open de Argentina, Argentinian Open.
Oh, shit.
For those of you that didn't know.
Fucking man of many languages.
I'm just saying, man.
Modern day Kobe Bryant over here.
If only I can talk shit to an Argentinian person now.
I do it all the time. My wife's best friend. Just not an Argentinian.
She just can't understand you.
No.
But no, let's see. A fan distracted Brandon Matthews as he tried to make a playoff-saving putt. What he did next displays an exceptional empathy and class in emotional intelligence.
What did he do next?
He met with the fan and was like, yeah, no, these things happen.
He just yelled?
So it turns out it was a fan that had Down syndrome.
Right.
Man just got really excited, and right as Brandon Matthews was pulling his putter back to make the putt, this fan just yelled, Matthews! And he pulled the putt and missed.
Now, what if he was going to miss anyways?
I mean, honestly...
That's what I thought when I was reading it, too. I was like, well, you can't know for a fact that he was going to make the putt if that dude didn't yell.
I mean, he's a playoff putt, so clearly he put himself in a situation where he had to break a tie, so...
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. I mean, it's a good story now that we have the Bay Hill Invitational coming up here pretty soon.
I know. We're going to have to do an episode out there.
Oh. I mean, that's like literally... I don't know if there's going to be enough room for us. It's either us or them.
Yeah. But it was... So it was interesting. Matthews just talked about how he's grown up around a lot of mental disability, and he's got a soft spot in his heart for it. And he wanted to actually meet with the fan, gave him a signed glove, signed ball, and wanted to make sure that nobody was...
And now he's a martyr.
...upset with him.
Now he's a martyr.
About it. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I hope when he goes to putt in that signed ball one day, somebody's like, Down syndrome. And he pulls that putt.
Oh, man.
Sorry, yeah, I only say that because I don't know the guy's name.
That's okay. Well, that was pretty good.
Well, just saying. No, it's just there is like a certain level of class that has to be absorbed and taught to these athletes as they rise up into the pro leagues.
Well,
because
I mean, it's something that doesn't really happen a lot in golf. So the fact that when it does happen, and this isn't a major PGA tournament, but still, you know, interrupting the concentration of a major athlete is a big deal.
That's honestly the
funny
thing
how in some sports it's encouraged, but in other sports you're banned for life.
Yeah.
In certain situations, like you know, you have distracting a pitcher or something with a funny sign. Hilarious.
Speaking of getting distracted by a pitcher, what about when that pitcher hits you with a ball because you're on the Astros?
You fucking deserve it,
right?
Fucking human garbage.
So, This wasn't even planned. Let's talk about this.
Alex Bragman.
Do you think that...
Yes.
I think that this is kind of similar to Manchester United getting kicked out of Champions League for 2 years. I think they deserve it. And I think the Astros should get the same fucking thing.
I think that...
They should just be disqualified from competing in any major title.
I think
this
their title should be vacated.
Yeah.
100%. You don't necessarily have to give it to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But I think it should be vacated. Stealing signs has been in baseball for over 100 years.
Yeah.
Stealing signs is. But when you're using electronics
and
outward people, you know, it's different from the person on second base being able to see what the catcher's doing.
Exactly.
And knowing when he can make a run for third.
Well, that's the thing is when you're that's being in the game and seeing the other team trying to strategize against you.
One person using that's that totally to his cool. advantage,
but
and
just
the
like
other
the Patriots
two
recording
know.
Previous games and using that footage against them in the future, it's wrong. It's fucking wrong.
I don't think the Patriots thing was that serious.
When you're recording another team like that,
when you're recording a practice. It's bad. I do think so. I'm not saying that it wasn't serious. Yeah. I just don't think it's as serious as this. What's happening in baseball.
Yeah. Just because, I don't know, a lot of people are going back and they're trying to say, like, no, their records were just too good. It's just way too good and easy for them to walk right into the records that some of those players had.
Right. And the big thing is we're talking about, you know, how bad it was for the Houston Astros and the fans, you know, the shit that they're going through right now.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, their franchise won a goddamn World Series and they went from the bottom to the top.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, their fans were riding this high of having one of the best baseball teams in MLB in their
city.
Got
the knees cut right out from under them.
Correct. But the other thing is the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw, the pitcher for the Dodgers, arguably one of the best pitchers in baseball, was ridiculed. They tore that guy verbally to pieces in the media. Saying,
because
he can't win the big one, you know, as soon as he gets in the spotlight, this, that, and the other.
Damn.
I mean, and he's still pitching good games, but they're cracking on him. Why are they cracking on him? Because they're cheating.
Yeah.
And it's different when you're, like I said, when you're staring at the second base, when you're on second base and you want to steal the third.
Yeah.
Or you tell the guy over on the...
That's different.
Yeah, 100%, because it's one person benefiting, and both of the players on the other side on defense... know what's going on too, so they're trying to combat you doing that.
Exactly.
But when you have buzzers and fucking trash cans and shit that you're banging,
well, you saw the thing that the one time when it was real controversial, they kept citing the one time when one of the players, you know the names of baseball players a lot better than me.
Mm.
One of the players was rounding the bases for a home run, and he was like,
"Altuve,
don't tear my shirt off. Don't tear
Jose
my
Altuve.
Shirt off. I'm wearing a wire."
Yeah, Jose Altuve.
Yeah,
yeah.
He didn't want them to fucking rip his shirt off when he ended up getting a badass home run. And then everybody just seeing this fucking
Person
FBI
to get hit by
Mike
a pitch and
to his skin. It's like a fucking poker thing when you're in blackjack and you have a little thing in your shoe that fucking pokes you in the heel when the deck is hot.
Oh,
can we get one of those?
We can try. Let's do it.
I'm in.
I'm just saying,
anyway,
man.
No, but so yeah, him and Bragman,
yeah,
who I like even less than Altuve, were the first two players to get hit by pitches. So
man.
And we're talking about in. And it's funny because, like, the
end of the
owner,
season, I'm going to look up a compilation of all Astros players just beaned.
Yeah. We'll find it and put it on the Facebook.
Just,
but that the owner of the Astros says it's not fair because now what is the MLB going to do about other pitchers hitting his players? So what are you going to do about destroying other pitchers' seasons by cheating?
Well, I mean, hasn't it always been part of the game that you can get hit by a pitch?
100%.
Isn't it always a thing
someone
that you
will
can
get in
dodge
trouble.
That pitch
someone
and
will get, in
get walked and
yeah, someone will,
fill
someone
up the
will
bases.
Get in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anything, you just put a man on base.
That's what I'm saying. It's always been part of the game. It's almost like the way fighting has been a thing in hockey. Sure, you know, everybody
beautiful part of the
sure,
game.
Everybody would start noticing if some of these brawlers always started trying to knock out the same player. Or if the game started and three players just went to the penalty box within the first 10 minutes because they just leveled the same guy on the other team.
They have an understanding. Like, they'll, you know, they'll go, okay, you want to do it now? You want to fight right now?
Well,
yeah,
exactly.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
But here's how you can compare the two of the what happened in baseball versus the same thing in hockey is if they all just decided to start beating the shit out of each other with their hockey sticks.
Yeah.
That's what I would call it.
I mean, yes and no, but that's like saying like, oh, like you can slide tackle a guy, but you can't kick the football or kick the soccer ball at his head.
Correct.
It doesn't work like that. Like one of the quarterbacks in the NFL could decide to fucking bean one of the linemen right in the side of the helmet as hard as he can.
Stupid.
He could. It'd be dumb. Be a loss of a play, loss of yards and everything.
And loss of a player.
And there's a chance that the dude could just catch it on his fucking helmet.
Also, it's a lineman. He's got 200 pounds on you probably.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is they're... I'm kind of happy to say it. This is natural selection happening
in baseball. Yeah.
And this is what needs to happen because Correct. Either their whole team's going to get suspended for a year
or
and they're not allowed to compete and they have to vacate their title.
That'll never happen.
Or you're literally going to take your fucking lumps.
I think what the big what really needs to happen is the commissioner who sucks
mm-hmm.
needs to step up and say, okay, we're vacating their trophy.
Yeah. What is it, Roger Goodell's brother?
No, he makes Roger Goodell look like a fucking genius, this guy, Manfred.
That's horrible.
So the best player, then we'll end with this. The best player in baseball is Mike Trout.
Okay.
There's no question he is, some say, could go down as the greatest baseball player of all time.
Really?
Now, when you have the greatest athlete in any, like, do you know the greatest athlete in baseball right now? Or, I mean, basketball right now?
No.
LeBron James.
Okay.
Yeah. The greatest athlete in football.
No.
Tom Brady.
Okay.
The greatest athlete in Formula One, Lewis Hamilton.
Yep.
Tennis, Roger Federer.
Yep.
But nobody really knows, like, people outside of the baseball world don't really know who Mike Trout is.
Yeah.
And that pisses off the commissioner of MLB because he was like, we need our guy in the news more. We need Mike yeah. Trout. He is the best player. He needs to be, you know, doing more for the MLB. Or we need to
they
get
want
him going
the best
out.
Player
we
getting
need
out
get
more
him,
publicity
yeah,
to check bring up
out
the MLB.
Clubs and go into restaurants and stuff. And Mike Trout's like, no, I just want to go to work and then go home.
Yeah. I don't want to do commercials.
I want to
continue to practice and Correct. Be good at baseball.
I'll cut promos if I have to.
Yeah.
It's in my contract.
Cool. Yeah.
But outside of that, I just want to go to work, mm-hmm. do my job, and then go home.
Nice.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Who does he play for?
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Ah.
My Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Oh, I thought you were a Dodgers fan.
No, you know the story behind
oh.
that. You're just trying to make me look
no,
bad.
You're just a rock star.
Yeah, something like that. Well, that's the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quick little one there. We will be back next week on Thursday. Quick couple of shout-outs. Broken Strings just released their liquid vinyl, barrel-aged liquid vinyl.
Oh, this black vinyl, huh?
Yeah, the old Blue Eyes edition aged in a Frank Sinatra Jack Daniels cask.
Badass.
So that one's out. You can get it 5 ounces at a time at the bar, or you could take a bottle home with you for $20. Highly recommend it. Really good. And we have a few more releases coming up, but the big thing that has to do with our podcast is, you've heard us talk about the Davenport Dippa. We're bringing it back in a collaborative effort with Broken Strings.
Oh yes.
On the 22nd, it will be brewed.
Finally going to hit the mainstream.
Correct. And we will, discuss an event to which it will be available for you guys to give it a try. So details to come on that.
Yeah.
But it will be brewed on the 22nd.
Looking forward to it.
Chicken Parm, myself, and Young Ty over there will be doing the deed with
yep.
Charles. You will be gone, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. I will be back for the process after.
Correct. So, yeah, we're going to leave it
kegs.
On that. And thanks for listening. And we'll catch
Episode
you next time.
Episode 25.
Boom.